Today's guest was so kind to us. You don't understand how we met. She participated in one of our quarterly sales events on this podcast. She was such a standout. I wanted to bring her back here for this interview. I'm so grateful that it's finally happening right now and that I can share it with you. Wait until you hear about her background. You may notice her competitiveness. You certainly will notice she is someone who understands that you build a great reputation over time, and she is amazing. Smart, original, a servant leader, somebody who respects both strategy and culture, to cheerlead her team to higher results again and again. Somebody who respects process, somebody who respects being prepped before she goes into battle, if you will. As she says herself, and I quote, "In a world of formulas and ideas, you need a partner that will take the time to ask you why. In my 25 years of marketing experience, I've learned that asking more and talking less is what makes a great relationship. I specialize in growth-minded companies and individuals who have an internal drive to succeed," unquote. Well, today's guest has an internal drive of her own to succeed. And you and I, we get to kind of sit on her right shoulder a little bit, explore that with her today on this podcast episode. Actually, this sounds like exactly the kind of individual we like to talk to on our podcast. Welcome to the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, almost anywhere you get your podcast. And you can always get individual episodes. Try to remember this. Like if you get caught somewhere and you're on a computer, okay, you're good. We're on a podcast. You can get us on your smartphone. But if you're sitting there with your computer, you can get all of our episodes at rainmakerpathway.com also. Our goal, no matter how you get our podcast, is to encourage radio pros at all levels. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you know that we have a fresh weekly episode featuring a radio pro active in our business each Sunday. This is really not about the past. It's not about talking about what radio used to be. We're all about discovering what's working today, right now. To enjoy our podcast, you only have to be interested in others and be open to encouragement, advice, connections, tools to get ahead, and ways to make your radio career more profitable and successful. Each and every week, we have an opportunity for you to see a snapshot of an individual in our business. It allows you and I to see radio from a different perspective, maybe a different career arc than maybe yours or mine, and hear how they're embracing radio right now. My name is Lloyd Ford. I'm with Rainmaker Pathway Consulting Works. We call ourselves RPC. Every programming consultant in history in our business has focused on music, talent coaching, marketing, all those things, programming elements that improve local radio brands. However, it's now 2024, and we like to ask this question: what good is improving your programming if it doesn't result in helping you create revenue growth? That's right. That's where we come in. We absolutely help local radio clients improve those programming elements known to increase the value of their local brands, but we also help radio owners and managers motivate revenue growth. That's right. It's like a momentum thing. In addition to on-air talent coaching, which we do, we also help local radio owners and managers with the talent that they worry about the most, their sales team. Even our name means pathway to money, Rainmaker Pathway Consulting Works. When we go to work with local radio clients, they follow our collaborative process, their revenue and their profit margin rises. We focus on those two things. Can you imagine? We can help you schedule a meetup by email. It's easy to do. First consultation is free, F-O-R-D at rainmakerpathway.com. We're less than a minute, maybe less, from talking with Cher Harmonson. Now, listen, she is the executive vice president of Midwest Family in Madison. A big thank you to Joe Kelly for producing the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast. Thanks to justjoeproductions.com for creating our audio footprint, distributing our podcast. You can see what you, your sales manager, individual sellers, programmers, and personalities can get for absolutely free on our website. This is a crazy thing because we have over 1,000 articles of encouragement and more pop up each and every week, including our Encouraging Sales Success series and our More Than Live and Local series. Now, let's get sharp. We're going to have to be sharp because, Char, Welcome to the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for allowing me to join you today.
Man, I know I didn't prep this, but you got to tell me about that first name. That is such a unique first name. How did that happen? I know it's a variation.
Yeah. Star for Charlon, and my dad named me. And I don't really run into other Charlons out there. It is unique, but I like it, and it helps me stand out in the industry. And if you Google me, Charlon Hermanson, there's only one out there. So that's an advantage.
Oh, nice. I have a really weird name myself, but there are two of us, and we're both in the media business, a weird world, the world of a smaller place, not a larger place as people think. Listen, I got to get this out of the way early. Why do you love flamingos?
So it's something that I came to love flamingos. I grew up in North Florida, and they're just a quirky little bird. They can stand on one foot. They can, you know, they just are unique. And so I put that in my bio on the website of my profile with Midwest Family, because we interview a lot of people, and I want people to research our company before they come in to interview with us. Smart. And I've had one person ask me why I love flamingos, which tells me that the other individuals didn't really look very hard to learn about our company or myself, which tells me a whole bunch when I go to interview them. So I put that in there as a little bit of a cookie, if you will, so that the people who catch it, I know those are the ones that I really want to interview, and I want them on my team. And the ones who completely miss it, then I'm probably a little bit less interested in them.
So what Char just did, by the way, was identify that I read something on their website. Number two, she identified for those of us, and there are many people who know the Van Halen story about the, I guess it's the brown M&Ms. They had those taken out of their rider, and it was David Lee Roth's way of seeing that they were paying attention to what the band really cared about. It's really kind of interesting. So you kind of do that yourself, right?
Yes, that's exactly why I put that in my bio. And I do have flamingos in my office, and I do love flamingos, but I popped it in my bio on our website for that specific reason, because one of my number one things when I'm interviewing salespeople or anyone is, how much do you know about us, and how much time have you taken to learn about Midwest Family?
Yeah, listen, y'all didn't get to do the pre-interview conversation that Char and I had. But one of the things I've noticed about her is something that she and I have in common a lot, which is that desire to always be prepared before something occurs. And I always say that every one of these interviews that we do comes with great value, things that can help you propel your career forward. If you go to a job interview, please have spent a lot of time figuring out who these people are, because it's important to them. And it's also important to you to see if you're going to be a good fit with them. Now, Char, let's talk about what I call the BF. That's before radio. I want to tap into you as a radio listener. And I want to go way back before you worked in the radio industry. Do you have any cool experience with radio back then, before radio?
Yes. So my cool radio experience would have been when I was in high school. We did take a tour of Z104, which is the top 40 station, still is here in Madison. And the morning DJ came out, and he looked just as spectacularly interesting as you would imagine him to be in 1989. Ralph Cohen is his name. He's a TV sales guy now. But he came out, and he had his black hair combed back. He had a shirt open, big gold chain, and introduced himself to all of the high school students. And I was like, wow, crazy. So that was my first experience with radio. And one of the things I really work hard now is I try to engage the students at the high school, college level, any student groups that I can get a hold of right now. And I invite them to come in and take a tour of our radio station, because the show business that we work in every day and the people that we just walk by in the hall every day are so fascinating to those students. One of the new things that we're getting ready to wrap it up and launch it is that the president of our company we videotaped him doing a building tour and talking about how the studios were built and how the building itself is built and how it was built this way to accommodate a radio station and how thick the walls are and why that's important so that sound doesn't carry in between the studios. So it'll be about a 10-minute video that we'll have. Like when you go to Disney World, they'll show you a video before you go on the ride. So I imagine this video will be something that we can show the students before they take the tour of the station.
You know, all this conversation about how people feel, I think the people who get lost in this are the radio people who take for granted that we work in this and they don't think it would be interesting to other people. I've got to be honest with you. People really dig it, right?
Yeah. And one of the things our a creative writer just encouraged us to say is, he said, don't invite people to the station anymore. They don't know what a station is. Invite them to the studio. We have studios here. Yes. We're podcasting, we're doing video, but we have a lot of studios here. So invite them in for a studio tour, because that word just resonates with people much more.
Well, and I don't know about you, but I definitely believe, and I believe this pretty strongly, that some words, their meaning changes across time, and some words fade away. And so you need to be really careful. One day you and I will have a conversation about the word sales, but not now. All right. So I got to ask you this. You went to Upper Iowa University. I'm interested in the college you. Your bachelor's degree is in marketing. You did very well. When I say you did very well, you did very well. And you did that while working full time. What was your goal in college?
Yeah. So you can see that I worked at Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and I was a customer service rep right out of high school. And through that experience, I learned that me being in customer service, I had to bring food to the potluck. And then there were salespeople that worked in our building, and they never had to bring food to the potluck. They just showed up to the potluck and they got to eat. And the same outcome happened. They just didn't have to bring in a crock pot that day. And I was like, I need to figure out how to get into sales, because I don't want to bring in a crock pot every time we have these potlucks. I just want to show up, get something to eat, and roll back out the door. So I enrolled myself in college, and I figured out a way to get myself out of the potluck cooking business.
I can't tell you how many times I have these kind of interviews with sellers, and they always say, I found myself in the building and I saw the salespeople's cars and all that. This is the first time I've heard somebody say, I didn't want to bring a crock pot. Okay. Now, the very next thing I see in your experience lane is the sales and marketing assistant for Freedom Plastics. This isn't sales. Exactly. You develop sales reports for the VP of marketing. Now, I find that pretty interesting. Is that a great way to start really looking at and breaking down sales? That's data.
Yes. I think it was the perfect first sales opportunity for me. I was really confident in my skills. So I had applied for sales positions, but I was not getting any jobs. So I thought, okay, well, let me take another run at this. And then the sales and marketing assistant role was posted for this plastics company. They make PVC piping is what they make, which I know more about PVC piping now. But yeah, I was able to learn. I worked with the salespeople, and then there was an opportunity. The VP of sales didn't have regular reports that were generated consistently for him to review. He was taking all of the sales reports that the system generated, and he was doing that on his own. And I said, well, would it be better for you if I took it and I gave you a roll-up report that I could update every month after these reports came out, and then you could look at the trends? And he said, yeah, that would actually be great. So I started working with him directly one-on-one to figure out what things he needed to look at. It was an easy pull for me as far as the data piece of it went. And so I created a sales report for them to use so they could look at their pacing, look at their projections, and just look at their data in a new way. So that was my very first experience. And then I did assist some of the salespeople on some calls and order entry and those things as well. So yeah, it was a great opportunity to get an understanding of that world.
This is helping me understand you so much because, I mean, first, we live in the world of big data now, okay?
Yeah.
And processes that involve tracking how you're doing, you know, what do they say? If it's not measurable, it's not a thing, okay?
Yeah.
So here you are learning sales really from the ground up, from the back end, which is really fascinating. After Freedom Plastics, radio makes an appearance. You go to work selling for the old Clear Channel in Madison. I want to know who hired you to developing these sales reports for the VP of marketing at a plastics company inspire you to get this job. How did you end up at Clear Channel?
Yeah, so Ed Schultz was the one who recruited me, and I had a little job. I'd been working at the a weekly shopper, and I was developing a good reputation for myself with good follow-up. You know, I'd drive up to Madison and pick things up from customers and meet with customers face-to-face in my little weekly shopper job. So I was starting to develop a reputation, and Danny Demetros, who now is in TV sales, started telling Ed, hey, you should pay attention to this girl. She really is highly engaged for a position that really didn't require that level of engagement, but I just wanted to know more about the customers. So learning what I needed to do to track my sales, understand what needed to be coming in. Also, the job at the weekly paper helped because a lot of people in that time used to overlook those ads in those newspapers, but I knew what it would cost to run consistently in those little papers. And I'm like, hey, if you're running every single week in those papers, you're spending a radio budget. So those were my first customers that I went after were those folks who were in those papers each week.
Oh, that's funny. So you end up in a radio job and you go, here's a big list of people I can go get, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So interesting. Now, look, you were not long at Clear Channel. This is what got me. But your love affair with radio was hardly over quickly. You went on to work for WJVL Radio. You sold for them for 8 years. You won the President's Club 4 of those years. I want to know, was that radio station, was that a better fit for you? Did you love sales and selling radio right away? What was going on?
Yeah, I did love it. The Clear Channel position was, I was in a big market and they didn't have an assistant. So I was working until like 9 or 10 o'clock every night, which, you know, I'm kind of on the mindset of if that's what I got to do to make this go, I can do it. But at WJVL, they offered me a list and then they offered me, you know, an assistant to help me out with some of the task work. And I was like, okay, so I could have a little more of a balance. I want to go hard and make this thing work, but I could get some support with WJVL. And that was actually closer to where I physically lived. So that was a pretty easy opportunity for me to say yes to. And Mike O'Brien was my manager for many, many years, along with Mel Cushing. And they really believed in training and working with the team. Mm-hmm. And just developing a culture of constant challenge, education, and personal challenge. I was still really young at this time. I think I was 24. So I thought I knew a lot more than I did know, which was, that's pretty typical for 24.
That's 24, yes.
So they worked with me in the way that they loved my passion and my drive, but they worked with me in a way to formulate how I needed to, you know, level up my skills so that I could achieve someday what I mentally really already thought I knew everything at 23, 24.
So interesting. And if you've got that passion, that drive, what I've gotten out of this so far is you love to prep. You're very curious, which, by the way, if you don't know, if you're interviewing for a job these days, we're all looking for people who are curious. That is a big kind of bellwether moment. When you see that, you want somebody who's curious who can do that. But I also will say, man, you know, look, I tell people all the time, people work for a lot of things other than just money or market size. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Try to make sure that you're offering and looking for the right fit for what job you want. and the individual for that job. You know, right person on the bus, right person in the right seat on the bus. Next for you was actually Bliss Communications. This is a different kind of job, or at least I from what I can tell, I'm interested in how this job came to be. And please describe what you did there.
Okay, so let me step back to the WJBL position. So one of the things I did in that position was we launched our websites. And so they said, we need somebody to be in charge of the websites. And I was like, okay, that seems like a leadership opportunity. I'll do that. Mind you, it was a pretty small opportunity, but I took it and we started growing website sales. So Bliss Communications actually owned WJVL. And so as a result of my work with the website and audio branding sales that I had been doing, when the position came open as the online sales director for, or I mean, sales development manager for Bliss Communications, I had had some experience in digital, and I had had a lot of experience with the company. So I was sitting there one day and one of my coworkers, so who now has passed, I was sitting there and he said, you know, I thought you wanted to do something with your career. And I said, well, I do. I really have these big goals. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I am interested in that sales development manager role with the Gazette. And he said, well, then quit sitting there looking at the wall and get up off your butt and go talk to somebody about it. So I did that day. I got up off my butt and I talked to my boss and I said, listen, I really think I want to go for this. And he said, well, we'd really like to retain you here. And I said, I respect that, but I really want to move forward with this. So then I went and spoke to the hiring manager at Bliss Communications and put my application in for that role. So it was an internal position and it was my first step forward to start managing projects, managing people. We also developed a lot of digital products there. So that's where I really got to be an entrepreneur within the company and start my own division. And we did pretty good. We developed $1 million of online revenue, which is no small shakes in 2009.
You bet. And look, you said some magical words to me. You said, this looked like a leadership opportunity. You were already looking for leadership opportunities. You don't want to be in it. You wanted to propel it, correct?
Yeah, very much so. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So 2009, you became a sales manager, but you didn't just become a sales manager. You won the Ellington Excellence Award as Sales Manager of the Year for 2010.
Yeah.
Did you learn that you liked sales management in this job?
I did. And one of the things that I learned was specifically in that role, I didn't know a lot about how the software worked. So I was leading the charge in a situation where I really didn't know how the software worked. So I had to hire a sales rep whose expert was in digital sales. So she was technically much more advanced than I was in that space. Right. And then I also hired someone to help me manage the program itself. And he was our designer. And he had a little website business on the side. And he was just a go-getter. I would say he was a person who had a lot of ideas and needed some coaching to keep him on task, if you will. But I took this team and we ended up growing the team to 5 people. And we developed a product that became the best out of all of its peer products. So we all won awards that year for best product, best sales manager, best coordinator, best sales rep, because we just all got to work and we let everybody do what they were really excellent at. And I just, I know that people felt the passion for what we were doing was a big part. Yeah.
It's such a huge deal if you let people run with their passion when it lines up with what you want to accomplish. Oh, my God. All right. So look, a couple of things here. Here, look, when you've got somebody who has developed over $1 million, that starts to get attention, right? Yep. That yep. starts to get attention. But that's not what you did. You did that. Plus, you developed kind of a new wing of the company. It's like, yeah. Hey, that had to get you a lot of attention. But then we have to take a left turn. So in late 2010, you take a job as the sales manager at, wait for it, Adams Outdoor Advertising. What?
Yeah.
What did you make this? Tell us about this a little bit. I need to know.
So
why'd you do this?
Well, it made sense in the long run. In the short run, it seems odd. But so at that time, the General Motors plant in our community had closed down. And so there was a lot of uncertainty in our community because of the loss of you know, job revenue that was occurring in Janesville. And my friend, Ed Schultz, became the sales manager or the GM at Adams Outdoor Advertising, the one who had recruited me to radio back in the day. And
it's
he's
all
like,
coming clear now.
Yeah. He's like, hey, do you still want to do that management thing? And I said, well, yeah. And he's like, well, I have an opportunity. I need a sales manager here at the outdoor company. So I did outdoor for a year. I would say that outdoor for me lacked the passion, the creativity that I really, really loved with radio. It's a little bit more of a real estate transaction than what I had been accustomed to. And for people who love that type of a sale, but people don't buy their billboard typically. And they're just like, oh my gosh, this is great. I love it. This is so awesome. They just kind of buy it and it goes up and it's cool, but it's just not the same as the results on a creative radio campaign.
And many people put too many words on a billboard. Please stop doing that. Please.
Yeah.
Please get your, if you got clients in radio and they're also doing billboards, please get them to stop putting too many words on them. Please.
Yes.
It's not the way it works. So look, check this out. 2011. You start an 8-year run as the senior account exec, wait for it, WCLO and WJVL. Why the return to WJVL?
Yeah, so my old boss, he's like, well, you're not working for Bliss anymore, and you're at this, you know, outdoor company. Our sales manager is going to retire. We would love to have you come back. And so that when he retires, you could step into that role. So I returned, and then we were so successful that the sales manager decided he didn't want to retire quite yet because things were going so well. And then finally I said, okay, you guys, I'm doing the stuff here. So we need to, if I'm going to step into this role, let's go ahead and make that happen. And I think that's an important lesson that when you're in a position and you know you're really kind of leading that charge, it's okay to have a very direct conversation and say, and I love my sales manager who was there, but you know, he was definitely just kind of living through that good times and he wasn't really doing that much. So he was just kind of on chill mode. So,
and you know what, it's worth it to stand up for yourself. And I would say this, you know, there's a lot of conversation about women don't make as much as men. And there's some research that indicates that a lot of that is because they don't speak up.
Yep.
Speak up, right?
Yep. Yep.
Say it for yourself because nobody else is going to say it for you. Look, in September 2019, you took a new job. In the beginning, you are the marketing sales manager for Midwest Family in Madison. You certainly couldn't have seen COVID coming. In 2020, you became the general sales manager. Is this not the craziest time to become responsible for a sales team, 2020?
Yeah, it is the craziest time. So the marketing sales manager role was something that I was very, you know, familiar with. And then it was a similar situation where I had been doing that role and I said, okay, you guys, I'm capable of a whole bunch more. If you want me to keep doing these things, I can keep doing these things, but I got a lot more gas in the tank. So if you want me to really take this thing and move it forward, then I recommend you give me that opportunity. So it was shortly after that conversation that I did get the opportunity. So it's just speaking up for yourself in the time where you know you are ready to step forward. And I was okay being there for a period of time learning about the company culture. But after you've learned everything you need to learn, it's okay to say, all right, I'm ready to move forward. And one of the mistakes I might have made early on is I waited too long to speak up for myself sometimes. And I've gotten a little more assertive as the years have passed to say, nope, it's time to move forward now.
Oh, I'm noticing this across time. I mean, we had that conversation a few minutes ago where somebody said, why don't you get off your butt and go blah, blah, blah. Okay, yep. But that changed because then you learn that that's the way. If it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me. Please tell me, to tell us about this quote. Quote, strategy without tactics is the slowest route to victory. Tactics without strategy is the notice before defeat, unquote.
Yes. So at that time with Midwest Family, we wanted to restructure our sales model. And we started a strategy team. And the word strategy was introduced to me that this is what we were going to call it. And I was like, well, what is the director of strategy? I looked online. There was no director of strategies at that moment. It didn't exist. So then I found this quote from Sun Tzu. And then it told me that we needed to really work with our clients to understand their problems. Because at that time, post-COVID, you really started to get in this tactic, solve, solve, solve. Yes. Mindset, like, let's just solve the problem and throw some tactics at people and let's just see if it works. And what we really pushed back against our customers and ourselves and the market was to say, sure, if you just want to buy that thing, anybody in town is going to sell that thing to you. And this is how we're going to do it, though. We're going to do an interview with you. We're going to do a complete client needs analysis. We're going to do an assessment, and then we're going to make a recommendation to you. But if you have to buy that thing today, go buy it from somebody who will sell it to you. And then you'll come back and talk to us in a couple weeks or months when the strategy wasn't very well developed.
And no, wait. Before you go any further here, I just want to point this out, and you correct me if I'm wrong. What you just expressed, one, is staying calm in a storm. Number mm-hmm. two is doing something that really is, I mean, you know, we're such a business of, we want to fill up the space. We want to talk. We want to, you know, not have any uncomfortableness. This is not for the faint of heart, what you're describing, because you have to basically cut against what your clients are undereducated about and just wanting to snap at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uncomfortable?
Yeah, because they're afraid too, right? They're coming out of a situation that they've never experienced either. And so you can't let their fear and their anxiousness push you in a direction which you know will not ultimately lead to better results for them. But that's right. You have to remain calm as they are zigzagging all over the place, right? And now we're in a political year again. So you're seeing that same zigzag, right? Like, no, up, down. You know, everybody wants to change their mind every 15 minutes.
Wait. I can go further in this. Okay. So September 2001, about 2008, 2009, right in there, COVID. Okay, the 21st century, I'm sorry, is not for the faint of heart. There are going to be cycles of things that happen. You think these are the last three? No way. Mm-hmm. So what Char is talking about is your future and staying calm and saying, look, there's a science to what we do. Is this not correct?
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. So excellent. Director of strategy. So I would just say this to anybody who's listening. Do you have a director of strategy at your company? If not, maybe, you know, you should call around and see what's going on. Listen, while we're talking about all this transformation, can you share with us how you create leads in the radio business when they're not obvious?
So I can tell you what we do to create leads in the radio business is that we do have a marketing person that is on our team who is constantly drafting blogs on our website. We have learned that the number of blogs on the website that really makes it a lead gen tool is about over 1,000. So I would say if you're not creating blogs and adding them to your website every single week, just start now because, you know, no better time than right now. And what we're now getting is the fact that when people search for search engine optimization, video, radio branding, podcasting, we come up in their search, in their organic SEO search. And so now we're getting opportunities to bid on jobs against that just the big agencies in our marketplace used to get all of those inquiries. We're now getting those opportunities because our website is so well optimized for those searches. We don't do much in the way of paid search. It's all organic, which, nice, as everybody knows, is the slower route to success, but it's going to stick with us so much longer. So it's a long-term commitment. And then when we're selling these strategies to our clients, we can say to them, yeah, this is going to take a year and you have to be patient. And yes, you're going to invest for that whole entire year. But at the end of the year, you're going to get more leads from your ideal client and you're not going to have to sift through what you're now dealing with is less than ideal clients who don't want to pay your service fees. They don't want to truly invest. And so now we're putting ourselves in the situation that we're more consistently attracting our ideal client.
Ding, ding, ding. Please, if you're in sales in the radio business, if you're in sales manager, if you're a market manager, you did just hear her say that, right? She said, get a better class of customers. And, you know, that's what I think you're saying. And look, you know, I told you at the beginning of this interview, I feel like you and I have something in common, which is we always like to be prepped for something. And I prepped this next question and you totally blew it out of the water. So I have to change it. So I originally wanted to say, I want to take a moment to talk about connection, trust, and brand in a different kind of light. But actually, that's what you've been talking about. The slow lane is building your reputation across time. You know, like Warren Buffett says, it takes a lifetime to build a reputation. It takes just a second to blow it up, you know.
Yeah.
So look, alongside your sales career, you have this history of volunteering in your community. Girls Night Out Rock County, special events co-chair and membership chair for AAF Madison Addy, the RAB, the YWCA, see, I'm a dude, so I want to do the other one. Okay, yeah. In Rock County, look, impactionable. I want to make sure I say that right. Yeah. Why is volunteering, why does it seem to be a part of your DNA?
So when I was, you know, when I first started being introduced to the idea of volunteering, I was busy. I was busy building my career and I was busy solving problems. And, you know, I had that very high, you know, fast moving brain going on. And I got pulled into the Girls Night Out of Rock County. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know that I have time for this. But I got into it. And what I really connected with is that taking that amount of time to give back, I left with so much more than what I gave. And
yes,
I would go to those events and I would feel so full and so happy that what I just organically do, which is attend events and ask people to buy, you know, spend money on whatever they were spending money on to give money to these charities, we would raise 4, 5, 6, 7, we raised $20,000 one night, which if you're a reading program or a women's shelter program,
huge.
This makes a big difference to these people. They would just be in tears that we help them so much. And all I was doing was something that I was really, it was easy for me to do. It wasn't hard, right? So then I learned that I could take the talents that I was really, really good at and use those talents inside of organizations. And I also learned there's not a lot of people who really like sales or want to ask people to support things. So I was like, this is so easy for me. This is fun. Because if you say no today, okay, but they really don't say no very often, right? So it just became an opportunity for me to really give back. And I've also been mentoring some young women for the past few years. And I do it for free to them. And the point there is they're college kids or recently out of college, and you know, they can't afford a coach or a mentor, right? They can't afford those things. So when I started out as a young professional, like that guy that told me to get up off my duff, I had some friends who were mentors, and they would talk to me real plain and real straight about what I needed to do next because they were a little bit older and more experienced. So it gives me an opportunity to coach some young professionals, and primarily women I coach right now, and just help them see what the next steps and opportunities for them can be.
The value of a mentor is priceless. The value of having your own board of directors is priceless. Listen, I don't want to drop me on my head, but I am going to slow down for this next thing. We're just going to take a brief stop here. You become the executive VP of Midwest Family Madison in November 2023. Can you just please explain to me the hashtag wake up, show up, calendar up?
Yeah. So one day I was giving a very passionate speech to our sales team because they had become a little sleepy during COVID and they weren't necessarily starting their day on time. And when they would show up, I didn't know that I wasn't always feeling that they were showing up as their best opportunity for themselves. And the calendars were a little bit less than full in a normal week, right? So that morning when I was on the spin bike, I wrote down wake up, show up, calendar up. And I gave this big speech for 30 minutes about what we needed to do to win and to be successful and to, you know, kind of shake off that COVID, I don't need to show up today habit, which anybody can get into at any time. It doesn't take a global pandemic to get a little sleepy.
Absolutely.
But
I will say this. I think I see this in client situations. People have lost some steps. You don't think that you have across time, but COVID, people really lost some steps and they kind of took some steps back and they said, well, people don't want to meet in person. And I don't know. And it's like, no, those relationships are either yours or somebody else's.
Truth. Yeah, we gained so many partnerships during COVID because we would actually show up face to face for a meeting. Like we surprised many clients because we had a meeting with them and then we would knock on their door and they're like, oh my gosh, I thought it was Zoom. And we're like, no, we're here.
Right. We're engaged. Yeah. We're boots on the ground. Listen, here's a quote about you. Char is one of the most respected women I know in sales. She has a great reputation among business owners and her clients. As a sales manager, you knew she was in your corner being the best cheerleader ever. I saw her open sales doors for account executives that would have never been open without her connections and her willingness to see her team succeed. Char always goes the extra mile for anyone. An amazing lady. She deserves a gold star and then some, unquote. Now, just in case anybody's thinking this, Look, this is not an unusual quote. I read 27 of these quotes about you, Shar, and each one of them is a little bit more moving than the next. Can you tell us how you or anyone becomes the best cheerleader ever for their sellers?
Yeah, thank you for that. So authentically, I have strong ethics and I believe in treating people the way I want to be treated, which includes being told to get up off my butt every once in a while. But, you know, when you're in management, you're definitely going to come upon situations where you might have to face the most important person in the room, and you may have to tell them that they're not walking the walk and talking the talk. So my ethics and, you know, my duty to lead teams has really driven me through these years to stand up for people. And, you know, this has come in play in a variety of situations where sometimes I have to stand up to an individual and say, listen, you're just not bringing your best self. Sometimes you have to stand up to clients saying, hey, you're not really engaged in this, and we need you to be really engaged so that we can be more successful because we want to do that for you. So I think as a leader, you have to be willing to look in the mirror every day and know that you did do your very best every day. And if you have to face a scary situation, and that's okay. One of the president at Adams Outdoor, he said to me, he said, if you're going to be a leader, you need to be willing to walk up to the most important person in any room and make sure they know who you are.
And
that has always stuck with me. And I do make it a point to take action on that.
If you want, you could take a minute to pick the mic back up because you just did the mic drop thing. I'm sure. Sure. I just want to make sure okay there. That is great advice for anybody. Show up and don't be afraid to go and climb the biggest hill. Listen, you've heard us talk about company culture. Now, look, I only have two more questions for you, so I got to make them good. Please tell us about William Walker and then tell us about the Walker Cup. After that, maybe you want to tell us about winning that cup.
So the Walker Cup, boy, that was just a mind-blowing day in my life. So the Walker Cup is given to the market within Midwest Family who exceeds their local sales goals by more than any other market. And so the year we won that was the year I did the Wake Up, Show Up, Calendar Up speech. So we were just charging forward and trying to make connections and trying to make sales. And it was post-COVID. And we were in Madison, which was still very shut down compared to other markets that were opening up. And when the president of our company gave that speech that night, I'm sitting there next to Jared Clark and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And then all of a sudden I'm like, are they talking about us? Like, what is happening right now? And we just got more and more excited. And then all of a sudden it was us. We had won and we had no idea. Zero idea whatsoever. So we literally just lost our minds and we were like, oh my gosh, we did it. We came from behind. We were, you know, the last dog in the race for so long. And now we're at the front. And it was a culmination of us for everything that we were doing differently. And, you know, sticking to our core principles. And yeah, we had to eliminate some of those small customers who didn't want to do business with us in the way that we needed them to work with us. So it was a really important moment in our lives. It was really important for us. So yeah, it was a big deal.
Everything you're talking about is so incredible. The be unique, the kind of let the little customers go because you spend all your time with them when you could be spending your time making a lot more and making a bigger impact. Let's talk about the future. Now, look, not one of us can tell anybody what's going to happen in 5 minutes. If you tell me that, I go, okay, you don't really know anything. Mm-hmm. But we love talking about it. We love speculating about the future. We want to know if you could choose local radio's future, what do you think you'd like local radio to become?
Yeah. Well, I love the idea of doing more of what we're really great at, which is connecting with the local community. And yes. I don't believe there will be a replacement for radio by other mediums. I mean, the newspaper can't do it. Unfortunately, there are still some newspapers out there, but less and less because the cost of distribution. I love yes. newspapers. I was owned by a newspaper company. Reporters are, they're amazing people, right? They just work. Mm-hmm. So the only person left out there is going to be local radio. We are trusted. We provide entertainment. We're fun. It's an escape for people. But really bringing forward that community information to people. I just went on a vacation to Charleston and our Charleston area, Myrtle Beach. And we went okay. to a community St. Patrick's Day festival and we learned about it and we went and it was great. It was just a very fun, you know, little St. Patrick's Day community festival. I think people love to go to those things. They want to feel a part of something and radio tells you what's happening so you can attend these things.
And radio can profit from that as well.
Yes, absolutely. There were a ton of radio stations there. So Go Myrtle Beach Radio, they had three or four of them out there, you know, hosting little booths and being a part of it. So good for them.
Char, I want to thank you for spending this time with us and being such a great guest.
Thank you.
Please don't take for granted what we're doing here. I'm asking you to help us by sharing this episode of our podcast. You could do that directly from our website. You know, you go up and copy the link. You guys know how to do it. It's in the free blog section with others. We want you to share with others who really want to take advantage of getting ahead in our business today. You can tell how amazing it is to spend any time around this leader that we're talking to right now. You can go to rainmakerpathway.com anytime and select any of those that you want to do. Of course, we're a podcast too. You know this. You can get us on your smartphone. This episode of the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast, is designed just like the other 150 plus in our archive already that you get when you subscribe free on your smartphone to encourage radio pros at all levels. We want to thank our special guest today, Char Hermanson. Now, listen, the executive vice president of Midwest Family in Madison, and now you know why they love her so much. A very special thank you to Joe Kelly for producing our podcast and justjoeproductions.com for creating our audio footprint and distributing our podcast. Please listen closely. We say this all the time on our podcast, and I say it to clients regularly. Once you have a radio station, you can get anything else you want. If you want to know more about this philosophy, know how it really works, please call, reach out to me in any way that you want to. It is my passion to talk about why radio can be larger than most people think, and I absolutely love to prove it to clients. No one can stop you with great strategy, solid process, a commitment to passionate execution. If you don't remember anything else from our podcast, please remember this: be kinder than you have to be. Thanks for being a part of the Radio Rally with the Encouragers. Now go make it a great week in local radio.